Something a little different tonight, a subject that hasn't been taught on for quite a long time. And as I prayed and asked the Lord where to go with this, and then he confirmed it here just about a week ago, so I thought we better do it. It's on fasting. It was something that Mary and I had learned a long time ago, when we first became born-again Christians and started following the Lord's leading and his teaching and everything. So I just wanted to bring that out and teach a little bit on it tonight. I know if I ask anybody to raise their hand who has fasted, probably all of you would raise your hand, but I'm not going to do that. So, but there's only one prescribed fast in the Bible, and it's actually just for the Jews. And that's the fast of atonement. That's in Leviticus 16:29 through 34. You can write that down, look at it later. So that's the only one that's actually prescribed by God. He commanded them to do this, and it was for their atonement. It was for their cleansing, for their health, is what it was about. But tonight, we're going to start in Isaiah 58, 6 through 10, and we're going to look at the Lord's fast, what he says we should be, how we should be fasting. This is starting, it's Isaiah 58, starting at verse 6. Now, when we do fast, we want to fast with a purpose when we go before the Lord and fast, okay? That's the title of this, Fasting with a Purpose. So let's read this. Everybody there? Isaiah 58? Okay. Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke? Is this not to divide your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover him, or not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your guidance and your leading of your Holy Spirit in our lives, Father. Tonight, Father, you know that we are going to look at your word concerning the fast, Lord. So, Father, I ask that you will open our hearts, open our minds, let our ears hear the things that you have to say to us tonight. This I pray in Jesus. Amen. So we see here that this is God's fast. This is his type of fast. It's, you know, a lot of us have been taught. So anyway, this is the Lord's fast. This is what he requires. This is the type of fast that he wants us to do. But let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6 and see what Jesus teaches about this. You guys have read this before. I know I have too, time and time again. So Matthew 6. But keep this Isaiah, what we just read in Isaiah, keep it in mind as we read these other teachings. I was going to start at verse 16 and 17, which talks about the fast, but I'm going to go to start at verse 1, because these three things go in hand in hand. It's part of fasting. Like I said, remember, keep it in the back of your mind what we just read in Isaiah. So we'll start at Matthew 6, starting at verse 1. Right off the bat, Jesus gives us a warning. He says, Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. And then verse 2, So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give, now I want you to pay, I want each one of us to pay a close attention to the word when, okay? It's important. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward. And in verse 5, he talks about prayer. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And in verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. And then Jesus goes on from there and teaches us how to pray. But drop down to verse 16. Jesus teaches, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So what is the common thread through these three things? We know that prayer, fasting, and giving, they all go hand in hand. But what's the common thread in those verses? Come on, interact with me here. This is an open study. Huh? Okay, there's a common thread through the whole thing. But remember I said pay attention to when the word says when you. Okay, that's you get to choose when you fast. You get to choose when you give. You get to choose when you pray. Okay, it's your choice. The Lord's not pointing a finger and telling you to do it. No, you choose to do it. Okay? That causes our relationship with our Heavenly Father to be that much closer. And that's the way He wants our relationship to be done, not dogmatic or anything like that. So we see we have the choice when to do it. And you're right, it's done in secret, okay? We're not to be open about it when we fast or give or pray. Do it in secret. And another thing, what's the last part of that? What is the thread that runs the whole thing together? Yeah, your Heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward you. People will see that you're blessed. But it's a fellowship between the two of you.
Right, exactly.
Exactly right. A personal relationship between you and your Heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here. So we see that we choose when we do it, and we do it in secret, and our Heavenly Father rewards us in secret. And that's the way it all works together. That's the glue, I guess you could say, but that's the way it works. Exactly right. Yeah, and look at their reward. Their reward is their pride. Yeah, their pride is their reward. That's what they get. So, Mary and I, back when we first became, she was born again before I was, as you could tell. And we had a teacher a long time ago that taught us that when he fasted, he would calculate how much he would fast like for 40 days. He would calculate how much money he would save during his fast. And he would take that money and give it to the poor and the oppressed. And that's the way he would do it. And that was just an illustration that he gave us when we were younger. So you remember what we read in Isaiah 58. Let's go back to Isaiah 58 and look at verse 7. Just a little reminder. Look what he says. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? That's what we're seeing here, and that's what Jesus is teaching also. And that's what our teacher taught us years ago, too, that when we do fast, those things that are, you know, that you're going to save from that fasting, give it away. It'll always, our Heavenly Father is going to reward us anyway. The title of this was Fasting with a Purpose. So we must have a purpose when we do fast. I know I can remember in the past when we did fast, I fasted for health reasons one time, and got recovery from it. It worked, and it was a cleansing also for the body, as fast as the Lord says it is. So, but let's go and look in the Bible at some of the purposes for fasting. I'm just going to list a few. There's quite a few, but let's just go look at some. Go to Deuteronomy 9, starting at verse 9. Deuteronomy 9, verse 9. 9-9. And that means no, 9. Jim, would you read that, please? Now, this verse doesn't tell us what the purpose of why he was fasting, why Moses was fasting. But it just says that he's telling us that he did go up on the mountain and he did fast for 40 days and 40 nights with no bread or water. But like our pastors has taught us in the past, always read the verses before, five verses before, four or five after, to get the whole picture of it, okay? So I'm going to give you a few minutes. Go ahead and read starting at verse 5 and just read up to 13 or 14 and put it all together, and then explain to me what the purpose, what Moses' purpose was for the fast. Oh, starting at verse 5, and just go to verse 14. We'll see why Moses fasted, and also what kind of fast it was. Everyone got it? Okay. So what was the purpose for the fast? I'm sorry?
Repentance.
Repentance. Okay. Anyone else? Intercession. Anyone else? It was for intercession. It was an intercessory fast. He was interceding for the people because they were stubborn. Rednecks. But yeah, that's what he was fasting for. When I first read it, I thought, well, golly, I thought just like you, it was repentance, but it wasn't repentance. If you read the whole thing, and then I thought, well, it was for God's timing, because God was coming to give Moses the tablets with the commandments on it. So here he's on the mountain for 40 days and doesn't receive them till after that. So yeah, well, it could be. But it's actually intercession. It's an intercession type of fast, yeah, for the people's stubbornness. But it's on an individual basis. Fasting does intercede for other people, just as this fast shows right here. No, it will not take. I agree with you. It won't take away sin. Right, you're absolutely right. It will not. But you and I have prodigals, okay. We can intercede for them. We can intercede for them for their salvation. Yes, we can, and that's what we're seeing here. Yeah. So it's important. So when we fast with a purpose, so we can intercede for our sons and daughters. So go to Ezra 10, verse six. Now this one clearly states a purpose, okay, and also what kind. Ezra 10, verse 6. Okay, everybody there?
Yep.
Then Ezra rose from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Jehohanan, the son of Eliasib. Although he went there, he did not eat bread nor drink water, for he was mourning over the unfaithfulness of the exiles. Okay? So we know the purpose right off the bat. Because he tells us it was for the unfaithfulness of the exiles, and that's the sojourners that were with them. But what kind of fast was it? So again, read a few verses before and just a few after, and we see what kind of a fast it is. So we know the purpose of the fast was unfaithfulness. But what kind of a fast was it? Look at verse 10. Then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, "You have been unfaithful and have married foreign wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Now therefore make confessions to the Lord of your fathers and do his will, and separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from foreign wives." So the kind of fast was what? To make things right with God. We could say it's intercession again. Huh? There you go. Intercession for restoration. Yeah. And it's you know, this is, it's pretty strong what's being taught here. But yet, that's the way it is. Aren't we instructed to separate ourselves from the world? And what's the reward of it? We'll be his sons and daughters. He'll be our God. But in this case here, it was the inner marriage that was going on between the Jews and other people. Okay. So yeah, it was a restoration type of fast. And you can go on and read the rest of that, and it's beautiful what you read. It really is. All right, one more. Jonah 3, verses 5 through 8. Jonah 8. Okay. If I can find it. Jonah, I know you're hiding in there. Where are you at? 3, 5, and 8. Sorry, Jonah 3, 5, and 8. Yeah. 5 through 8. Boy, I tell you what, you guys are after me tonight, aren't you? Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands." What was the purpose of the fast? Repentance, yeah. You got that right off the bat. So what kind of a fast is it? Would it be restoration again? Earnestly. That's from here. It's not from here. It's from the heart. Remember what we read back in Matthew. God sees what's done in secret. Okay? There's a reward. So there's more fat. There's more illustrations in the Bible about fasting. So when we fast, fast with a purpose. Have a purpose in mind. Follow through with it. Okay, you don't have to go 40 days or 40 nights or whatever. You don't have to go without water and bread at the same time. You can do a Daniel fast. How about that? Daniel fast. Just give up meats and sweets. That's all. Come on. That's, yeah. No meats and sweets. How about that one? Yeah. How about bread alone? Give up just the bread.
No. Chewing gum.
Chewing gum. How about chewing gum? Yeah. But the Lord leaves it up to us, okay? There's not a prescribed fast for us. Now, there is for the Jew, and that's the fast of atonement for the cleansing. But you can do that. You can do that one also. You can fast for atonement, and there's illustrations in Acts on that one. In fact, we just read about Paul just had finished before the shipwreck. Remember, he just finished his fast for atonement, and it also tells you the Lord also tells us on that one what day of the month, what month and what day to start that one. So there is some guidelines in that. So I want to encourage you guys to fast. It is important. It really is.
It can even just be a meal.
Oh, yeah. It can be one meal. Yeah. Yeah. But we decide, okay? God has given us the opportunity to decide on that, and He's the one that will bless because of it. The Scripture tells us to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. So fasting is part of that, all right? Fasting is part of that. Prayer and giving also. Now, as I read that in Matthew, those three go together. They go hand in hand, and each one of them has a reward. The other things in there that Jesus was teaching in that, there was nothing about rewards in that, just promises, all promises, and they will be fulfilled in our lives. So I encourage you guys, fast. It's important. Fast for your health. It's good. It's good for you. Fast for a brother. Fast on the behalf of our prodigal sons and daughters. Okay? So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for what we have learned, Father. Father, it is clearly stated in Your word that fasting is part of our lives, Lord. And I thank You for that opportunity to do it, Father. Thank You for allowing us to choose when we fast, Lord. We thank You for the rewards that we will receive from it. Not only the healings, Father, but the joy that would bring to Your heart. And we thank You, Lord, for drawing us closer to You. In Jesus' name, amen.